Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I am the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Let me answer a quick question before we move on. I get some inquiries from people that have just discovered us. How long have you been doing what you're doing? Well, it all started with our property rights battle, where there were some prominent politicians nationally and locally that were trying to steal my property rights and that of 300 of my neighbors. And I became a spokesperson. I was in the media. I was on a lot of radio shows. Eventually I got offered a radio show, and that first radio show aired in 2007. I wrote essays and editorials about our plight starting as far back as 2003. So we've been at this in some form or fashion for 22 years, have had a radio show, gosh, now going on 18 years. It's a long time. Anyway, we're glad to be doing it because it's a valuable service. I really thought I would quit after we won our property rights back after an 8-year monumental battle. And boy, did we make enemies and did I go through some harassment. But nonetheless, my community is intact and, I'm able to fade back into the background, although we've got a new challenge facing our community. And I've been gone largely for 3 years in Colorado. And so I wasn't engaged in this, but BNSF Railroad's trying to put a toxic chemical storage area 800 yards from an elementary school and a population as well. And the action by the county has been delayed 3 times. And I've talked to some people connected to government about this on an individual private basis, but I've not gone terribly public yet. I may not. I think I might be almost too late to this fight. It's a terrible situation, but I moved out here to get peace and quiet, and I left the comfortable confines of being a college basketball coach, professor, a dual enrollment instructor. I had a great life. And now I jumped into the controversy, which I really don't care for, but I don't want to leave the country in the shape that it's in for my son's generation and your kids' generation as well. So that's why I hope you'll join me in all this. Hey, we are brought to you by the product that saved my life. The Nanosoma liquid spray doesn't cure anything, but it boosts your immune system to unbelievable levels. You can get more information about the product and how it works at iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. What this did for me was it took me from being almost an invalid, not being able to walk up a flight of stairs, to today, I'm doing amazing things in the gym I hadn't been able to do in over a quarter of a century. So I'm blessed to have been introduced to this product by my good friend Scotty Sachs. And there's other products that go with it too. You got joint problems? Well, they got the NanoSoma liquid gel. And I've overcome bone on bone because it produces pluripotent stem cells. And then there's the wrinkle cream, but I used it to treat cuts. And therefore, remember I had a cut that needed about 4 to 6 stitches, and I just used the cream, and in 2 weeks it was completely healed, no stitches needed. That's the 3-pack. That's a starter pack. You can pick that up too. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. If I had to choose a product for everyone to have in their medicine cabinet and use daily, this is it. It's preventative and it's restorative. Okay. I am troubled. I said in the beginning, after Charlie's death, I want his work to continue. I don't want to get bogged down in forensics like we did with the JFK assassination for 30 years. And it really helped hone my skills as a researcher and to understand how assassinations really work. And I find myself going back to the work that I did and others did, like my friend, the late Jim Mars. And I'm looking at this case with Charlie Kirk, and I keep flipping back to the JFK assassination. And I can't help it. It's just there in your face. After Kennedy was killed, and you had McClellan, a doctor at Parkland Hospital, the main doctor who worked on him, he said in a later interview on A&E The hole was so big in the back of Kennedy's head, meaning an exit wound. He was shot from the front, not the back, as they claimed. You could actually stick your fist inside the cerebellum. I was just, oh my gosh, I just was stunned. And the Warren Commission, really controlled by Alan Dulles, CIA, who was fired by Kennedy, he never called the Parkland doctors to testify. Why wouldn't you do that? They worked on him, tried to save his life. It was hopeless when he got there. He was still breathing a little bit, but not much. He was effectively brain dead. Then here's the big thing that you need to know. Here's where this is leading up to, and it's relevant to what I'm discovering about the handling of Charlie Kirk's body. Texas coroner, county coroner in Dallas, Earl Rose. He came to Parkland and he was preparing to do an autopsy. Now, keep in mind, the Parkland doctors were never called to testify in the federal investigation of Kennedy's murder. There was no federal statute at the time that it's a federal crime to kill a president. That exists today. It did not exist then. In fact, the law was passed because of this. But here's what's really, really interesting. The legal authority to do the autopsy belonged to Earl Rose, the coroner. And he was walking to the room where Kennedy had been pronounced dead. And out comes the Secret Service carrying him in a wooden casket. And they have this phalanx. And he said, "Stop. Under Texas law, I must perform this autopsy before you can take the body." Now, remember, there's no federal authority that gave the Secret Service jurisdiction over Kennedy's body. None. Now, today, that would be entirely different. Then the Secret Service would have been acting within the law, but not in November of 1963. And he said, "This autopsy will just take a little while, and then you're free to take the president's body." And they said, "Move out of the way, or we'll run you over." That's a quote. No autopsy was performed. And then there's all kinds of phony, baloney, nonsense business that went on at Bethesda. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm pointing out something here because my mind goes to those events in 1963 when I look at Charlie. The next day, he's on Air Force Two in an open casket. His wife, Erica, is seen clutching his palm, his hand, in a loving gesture. This means he was already embalmed. This had to be the quickest forensic autopsy ever performed in the history of murders. He'd already been embalmed, and that means the autopsy had to proceed, and these things aren't short. And I want to know something. Where's the autopsy? What is it that they don't want us to see? Well, with Kennedy, the brain ended up missing because they couldn't fabricate enough. I mean, the brain's missing. That's an historical fact. That's a fact not in dispute. I look at this with Charlie Kirk, and I would like to know the autopsy results because it might end the plethora of conspiracy theories that are joining. I don't want the conspiracy theories to drown out Charlie's work and the future of his mission that could continue after his passing. My goal is to have his work still influence the youth of America to one, respect free speech, two, to look at things objectively and not the brainwashing of liberal professors at universities, and three, have a peaceful dialogue and exchange of ideas, no matter how much you disagree. Those are healthy endeavors for any country. It's the opposite of a Hitler youth movement, and Charlie was the antidote to that. Okay, but I keep coming back to this because I said I was not going to get involved in the forensics, but they are so flagrantly wrong and so historically proven that they're wrong that I feel compelled to say something. I want the facts to come out. Full disclosure, full transparency. Kash Patel, the leader of the most transparent FBI in history, so you say. I want answers. And in the words of a few good men, I can handle the truth. I know you can handle the truth. But there's something terribly wrong with this dynamic. And if they would just be forthcoming, and it is as they said it was, then we could dismiss the plethora of social media posts on Rumble, on YouTube, on Facebook, and we could dispense with that and get behind this movement to help the youth of our America have a balanced perspective. But we can't move on when we see such flagrant discrepancies going on that parallel past cover-ups. And this is where I'm at right now. And I will tell you that I have hesitated like anything to jump on the Erica Kirk and boy, she's just not acting normal and the blah, blah, blah. And I know Candace has been all over this. And listen, I don't know Candace personally. I know her work, but I do. Candace and I share a common friend, Paul Preston, who's one of my best friends. I've been with his New California movement since the beginning. He first contacted me, and I think at about 2008, 2009, to be on his show, Agenda 21 Radio. And that's how I first met Paul. And then we discovered, hey, gosh, we're both former educators and we're both basketball coaches, and we have this great friendship. And many times I've gone out to speak about and to his group, the New California, which I really believe is going to be the 51st state. And I'll tell you what, Paul is gushing with praise about the integrity of Candace Owens. And that's my judgment of her from afar. I mean, her split with Ben Shapiro was based upon integrity lines from her perspective. I'm not taking sides, but I'm just saying it wasn't a matter of I got to have my way and you suck. It was I can't go down this road because I see the facts a different way, and she split. I've seen nothing but integrity from her, and the things that she is saying about Erica Kirk has caused me to have pause, and I want to have shared empathy, grief for the widow. That's where I want to be. My heart was broken for these two children who will never really know their dad, and they'll know in retrospect what a great American he was. But they'll never have the joy again of being tossed in the air and playing games with them, going to father-daughter events, going to a son's basketball games. They'll never know that. You see, my heart is broken in that area. And then I look at Erica and you just want to cry. But I'm going to share something with you in the next segment. To say Erica might be clean, but there's some really things that rub me the wrong way about the background. And not just her, but her family. And it doesn't mean she's complicit or guilty of anything. I'm not jumping on that bandwagon. I'm going to say I defer to Candace to try to be objective on this. She was very close with Charlie, they were best friends. I completely get her grief. I find it interesting that Candace was excluded from the memorial event, given how close she and Charlie were. And they had people speaking at the memorial that had no relationship with Charlie. None. And to exclude her is suspicious. And I'm not the only one to be saying this. I want the autopsy released. I want cross verification of the results because the longer this goes on, the more the opportunity for fraud and deception. How do I know? Because I've lived it with other assassinations. The cover up on Kennedy's situation went on for weeks, and we still didn't get a clear answer. We had to go to witnesses outside the group. And there's other things that bother me too. Now, I'm going to cover these. I'm going to put them on the table and I'm going to say, Patel and Bongino, I don't care if Israel's involved. I don't care if Russia's involved. I don't care if China's involved. I want transparency with this murder. Don't give me national security BS. I want transparency. This man was so important to America. We deserve to know the truth. And I will tell you this, and I'll say this for the record, I ain't buying the Tyler Robinson story. Not buying it for 1 minute. And yet I was one of the masses taken in the beginning thinking, well, that's case closed. When the feds are pressuring state authorities to stop the investigation, when there's construction at the assassination site, that's destruction of a crime scene. 4 days after the event, I got real questions. Stay tuned because we're going to ask some of those questions in more detail. But in the meantime, I want the autopsy report. Dan Bongino, you have a history of being a fierce warrior, a man of truth and integrity. And I know you're just the number two guy, but how much is this position worth to you? We need to hear your outrage that actually began and got silenced with the failure to release information about the Epstein files. I thought you were going to quit within a day. You were so upset. Yeah, that rage needs to be reignited in this case, and you need to be telling what you know. Go back to podcasting. At least you can live with your conscience. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Hey, make sure you sign up for our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com and click on the newsletter link, put your email address in, and you'll get a daily email with everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. Thank you for joining us. See you back here again next time. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host, and we are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And you woke up this morning to a shutdown. And this is a really simple, simple issue. Why is there a shutdown? Well, we're going to tell you, and we're going to tell you the reason, and then we'll look at the real reason why this has happened. And there are devastating implications for certain segments of our society, and one of them really supersedes everything else. Hey, we're brought to you by the product that I give credit to for saving my life last year when I had strep lung linings from RSV and a prognosis, and they're not coming back, and the worst is ahead for you. And my friend Scotty Sachs, my partner on Sovereign Radio, said, Dave, you can try this. I know nothing else is working. Try this. And I mega dosed on it. It's all natural. You can. And this doesn't cure anything. But what it did do is it boosted my immune system to a restorative level. I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. Very quickly, I was able to do that. I was back in the gym in less than a month and started working on things. And today, I'm better than I've been in over a quarter of a century. And I owe it to this product. And if I had my way, everybody in America would be on this. What do you do? Well, you go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. And also, if you have joint pain, concerned about aging face, they have other products there too. They package them together for deals. It's really a good situation. But this is the prime mover. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, okay, we're shut down for one real specific reason. And I can tell you, in my humble opinion, why this is true. And I don't really need to have a hypothesis on this because states like New York and California and Illinois and Oregon, they prove my point. Chuck Schumer, who's afraid of his own shadow, he needs to resign. When you can't escape a ghost overlooking you to lead properly, then give up your leadership. His ghost is AOC. Now, trust me, I don't think AOC could lead her shoes into the closet, but she's breathing down his neck. He's too weak to deal with her. I mean, she's intellectually inferior. And I don't mean that as an insult, but I mean, when you take a congressional position and you ask a question, when do we get paid? I scratched my head and laughed in amazement. But Chuck Schumer is intimidated by her radical approach. And if he is not radical enough, he feels he's going to lose his position. Well, Chuck, I think, what are you, 73, 74 years of age? Okay, your time has come and gone. You've lost your manhood. You've lost all your courage. And it's time for you to go. He's leading the charge for what's happened. And what's the core issue? And the core issue is something that really cannot be ignored. $1.5 trillion to be earmarked for, quote, 20 million people. Now, I want to back up and make sure you hear this correctly. We have several Democrats on the record using the word people. What's conspicuously absent from their speech is the word citizen. 20 million people ready to lose their health care. That says it pretty clearly, doesn't it? The 20 million people are not citizens. Now, I have some empathy for the non-criminal, non-gangster, illegal aliens in our country. And a lot of people aren't going to like this because you don't want to look at the truth because it forces you to realize that we're headed down a bad path. These people were invited here. They were invited here by the NGOs funded by the Biden administration. And before that, the Obama administration covertly and a small segment. And Biden, it went crazy. The NGOs were off the charts. Michael Yon, people like that, exposed this ad nauseum. And this was remember when they first showed up, Biden's first few months in office, thank you, Joe shirts. What? And very quickly, they tell you, don't wear that because we have to tell people the border's secure and Mayorkas is going to continue to spout his lies. Well, why are we prioritizing non-citizens over citizens? We'll get to that. But what's really interesting here is I feel badly for the non-criminal illegal aliens because many of them were duped in coming here, and some of them gave up everything they had in exchange for passage under cartel leadership for unimaginable horrors that they had to perform. It was not a pleasant thing. And it was something that the first cause was this last administration. That's the prime mover. Now, why are they concerned about the health care of these people? They need them here. Because the Democrats, what do they have now? 58% disapproval rate. People are leaving their party in droves. And trust me, I'm not a fan of the GOP, but the GOP right now is a much better alternative. So these people need voters. Now, this is not a hypothesis because California, here's how you get to vote when you're not a citizen. Anyone can get a driver's license. And then that driver's license can be turned into voter registration. Oh, there's a few steps in there. But it's very easily done and it's orchestrated. And by the way, the buses take the people to the polls to vote because most of the people that come here are unaware of our culture of politics and how it works. But the Democrats are there on the ready to make sure they get out the vote. Well, Illinois, Oregon, New York, Michigan, go right down the line with this. This is why they want to spend $1.5 trillion of our money. If these people weren't being used as pawns and then cheap labor that will never complain because who could they complain to about wet, bad working conditions, horribly mistreated? But if they weren't of value politically, Democrats wouldn't give them the time of day. They don't care about these people, they don't care about America, they care about their radical leftist agenda and the donors that are behind it. And the only way they can do it is to bring in outside people to become their voting base because they don't know any better. You know, it's kind of funny though. By the time someone is into second generation immigration, the eyes start to become open. And I hear this all the time. Oh, my dad didn't know. He was deceived. And I see it clearly. And these are some of the most fervent people for legal immigration. And before I get into shutdown territory, let me just tell you the story on my side of the family, and particularly on my father's side. Germans, successful in what they were doing, non-Jewish. And this is interesting to note, although they were persecuted for their beliefs, mostly they were Lutheran. Yet they were persecuted by, you know, what we'd call today the brown shirts and the thugs, the gangsters, the terrorists had their businesses attacked. They were supposedly Jewish friendly, which in a sense, from what I've learned from these people growing up, with some of them living in my household, they weren't friendly to Jewish people. They gave assistance when persecution got serious. And for that, they were looked at as collaborators. So they came here, and here was their immigration process. They had to register and they had to demonstrate, well, we have a reason to want to come here. And then they set them on a 7-year naturalization period, which meant that they were able to attend various locations and learn to speak English. And then, of course, too, when you assimilate in the culture, you learn that pretty quickly as well. They had to learn about American history and American government through the Constitution and then pass tests on both of those things. Now, this process was still in effect over 20 years ago when I had a student come to me, and she was from Romania and escaped that terrible regime as a young child with her family, and she had turned 21. And she had to prepare to take this naturalization test. And I said, okay, here's the outline of what you need to know, and this will get you through with flying colors. But it was an easy thing to do. And I had told this story to her class, so she thought she could come to me for help. Wonderful person, wonderful person. And she went through the process as my ancestors did. We could be doing the same thing in immigration, and we are not. Now, the problem right now would become expensive because of the volume. You'd need X amount of judges, education centers, administrative personnel to process these naturalizing citizens through. But we don't have anything like that. Well, on paper we do, but in reality, we really don't. And in that sense, we are our own worst enemy. Trump doesn't want to take on extra debt, so I don't see him doing that. And he's trying the deportation method. Okay, when you talk to me about serious criminals, I don't mean jaywalking and shoplifting gum as a child. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about serious crimes against people and property that are deliberate and probably repetitive. They got to go. They don't get a second chance. You're a criminal. I don't want you here. If you're a criminal in this country, I want you in jail. So I am not apologizing for that view. It's legitimate and it's legal. But I have empathy for these people that are pawns that are being used for their cheap labor for big business because they can't export all their jobs. So they bring in people under the radar that will work for under minimum wage, won't complain, don't care about working conditions because who are they going to complain to? The people that will turn them in and deport them. So they're caught between a rock and a hard place, and they're treated like absolute garbage. And John McCain said one thing I agree with. But the only thing he ever said I agreed with. Aren't we all children of the same God? We need to act with some responsibility and compassion. Now, having said that, can we give $1.5 trillion to illegal aliens for their health care? No. Could we provide emergency life-saving care? I think that's the humane thing to do. We do that all around the world with disasters. But as a matter of course, to give free health care when you're not even offering anything close to that to your citizens, that's not going to fly. But these people are liars. The Democrats are professional liars. And here's what I mean by the lie. We're going to use this money because people are losing health care instead of saying non-citizens are losing health care because they know it's an unpopular issue. It's why they're unelected. So they can't tell you the truth. And Trump is just letting this blow up in their face because I'm telling you how he's going to use this situation. He's going to turn around and he's going to fire about 400,000 people that he doesn't want in his administration. The budget shutdown. I think this is one positive outcome of a negative situation, but I will tell you this. This shutdown will end as October 13th approaches, because on the 15th and 16th, Military paychecks will not be going out. The outrage across the country. I mean, America loves its veterans. And the outrage that will happen if they're not paying, their people are losing their funding, their cars get repossessed, they may be on duty in some faraway land and their family suffering at home. That's a non-starter for this country. And this is going to blow up in the Democrats' face, and that's when they will buckle. And I hate to see the shutdown at all, but it may actually serve a purpose with getting rid of bloated jobs with people who are not loyal to America. And they're partly the administrative arm of the deep state. And I guarantee you, this is what Trump's agenda is. And I'm hoping that not one paycheck will be touched or affected that would go to our military personnel. But on the other hand, we have to decide what we're going to do with this problem. And it's not 20 million. The estimates I read, the realistic ones, when I talk to Border Patrol, they use numbers like 40 and 50 million. You can't deport 40 and 50 million people. I think you can deport 1 million criminals, but you can't deport that many. So what are we going to do with them? I don't have a firm answer. I think Mayorkas and Kamala Harris deserve to be brought up on charges for their obfuscation and violation of not following Article 4. I believe that they should face jail time for lying to Congress. The border is secure when they know damn good well it wasn't. But that doesn't solve the problem. I'd like to see your ideas on this. What do we do as a population with people who aren't legally here, but are human beings? I know what they would do with them in Russia. I know what they do with them with the rising fascists in Germany. It's funny how we call our leaders fascists. You want to see real fascism? It's what's happening in Germany today. I know what they would do with them. I know what they do with them in China and North Korea. Venezuela, you know what they would do in Iran. I'm not for that. And I don't think any of you are either. What do we do? What do we do? In the meantime, the shutdown has a silver lining. These are strange times we're in, but we're just getting warmed up. We have a story that's breaking from my sources, and I'm hearing this in other circles. What's going on right now in America is going to shock you to your core, and I can almost guarantee you, you've heard nothing about this. Stay tuned. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll be back. Charlie was a unifier, and he paid for that quality, that admirable quality, with his life, and for that reason. We're going to walk through in this particular segment the notion of divide and conquer and the role that intelligence agencies joined at the hip always do to people who unify. This is both a history lesson and a current events analysis. I'm Dave Hodges, and I am the host of this show, The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are brought to you by the NanoSoma liquid spray. I have to tell you, one product I would wish people to be taking, it's this. It brought me back from death's doorstep. It doesn't cure anything, but it boosts your immune system to unbelievable levels. It boosts your manufacture of vitamin C, regulates the nuclear receptors, vitamin D, and lengthens the telomeres. All adds up to an impenetrable immune system. This is your ticket to good health. Now, it doesn't cure anything itself. Its immune system properties do. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Divide and conquer is the game. And if you try to unify, you'll never be the same. That should be the moniker phrase of foreign policy for intel agencies. Now, a lot of people make the mistaken notion that intel agencies serve a country. There are some perfunctory duties that they perform, but they violate every law in the book. They do whatever they want to do because they're serving people who provide them with unlimited, unparalleled funding to do their job. And John Kennedy was sick of them. And we'll talk about what happened there when you oppose these people. Ronald Reagan, same thing. But let's get into it right here, okay? The CIA is a good case study, but you're talking Mossad, FSB. Yeah, I mean, we might go to war with Russia, but the FSB and the CIA will still be working together, as will the Mossad and MI6. MI6 is the lead. They tower above the other intel. This is why Trump went to the UK and basically told the king, up your nose with the rubber hose. We fought a revolution against you. You're damn sure not going to use your entities to subdue us. He drew a line in the sand. It was really remarkable to watch. And Trump told Netanyahu, you will not take over Gaza. Trump's in danger. And people have speculated that Charlie was taken out in part as a warning to Trump. Perhaps. I mean, I don't know how we would prove that. But Trump is taking on these entities. He's taking on the globalists. I chuckle at X about how they've come out of the woodwork now and they're using X, taking advantage of Elon Musk's generous notion of free speech. And some of the things they say, I just scratch my head. You guys aren't seeing reality. All right, here's what the CIA does. We have long history here in America with this, but this is true of any intel agency. Fill in the blank. My blank right now is CIA. They go into a country, we'll say in Africa. They look at different tribes and they go, okay, what could be their points of contention? They don't want them unified because they want to divide and then conquer. And usually it's for natural resources. So they come in and they find the hotspot, the big buttons that get pushed that lead to conflict. And then they exacerbate that. Their strategies for overthrowing countries are to divide them and then to conquer them in the midst of the chaos. And they'll usually back one side that can win, and then that's what they end up doing. But they have a history of doing that behavior in this country as well. In the 1960s, a little-known activist, but very powerful, a guy named Fred Hampton. I'm not a Fred Hampton fan. A lot of people think he was an avowed Marxist communist, but he started something that you may remember if you're over 60. It was called the Rainbow Coalition. You remember that? And what he was doing that was brilliant is he was doing a Huey Long imitation. I'll get to that in a second. And what he did was bring together poor Hispanics, poor blacks, poor whites, poor everybody, and says, you guys have a lot in common. You're being subjugated, okay? Your labor's undercompensated. You're being taken advantage of. And this is, and then they're using racial epithets between you, racial events to divide you so you can't unify. And that became the premise of the Rainbow Coalition. Well, this is what Fred got for his trouble. He got drugged, and his home was raided by the FBI, and they killed everybody inside. End of story. That was in the 60s. Now, RFK rose to prominence in the Democratic Party because he built coalitions. Okay, young black males that didn't want to get drafted disproportionate rates compared to their white counterparts. And he acknowledged, he goes, this is wrong. And he goes, in fact, the war is wrong and we need to end the war. And my brother, before his death, was in the process of totally pulling out the combat advisors, never to commit combat troops. And he was unifying people. And he also said, I know a lot of you doubt the findings of my brother's investigation for his assassination, and we're going to reopen that. And he did a bunch of other things that brought people together. Well, the story goes he was warned not to go to California. Okay, I can't prove that, but that story has not gone away in 30 years. Here's what did happen, though. He goes to California, he wins the primary, and basically locks up the presidential nomination for the Democratic Party, of which he probably would have been the next president. Well, you can't have a unifier in there, especially one that's talking civil rights seriously. Not lip service like his predecessor, Lyndon Johnson. Here's what ends up happening. He's assassinated under very mysterious circumstances in the Ambassador Hotel after he wins the Democratic nomination, and or he's going to win it de facto, and he's going back and leaving the building, and he's assassinated under very suspicious circumstances. Then you have JFK, 5 years prior. He too was about building coalitions, but he didn't do it so much internally. He did some. I mean, the civil rights movement he was proposing and really struggling with was an attempt to unify people among all lines, and he was somewhat effective, but not legislatively. That didn't happen until his death, and the sympathy factor got his civil rights legislation pushed through. But he was very good at unifying people across the planet. One of the things that a lot of people don't know, and yet this came out in my Kennedy investigation and has since been revealed, he had emissaries go to Khrushchev and spend time, and after the Cuban Missile Crisis, say, we can't do this again. And Khrushchev and Kennedy had agreed through third-party negotiations to limit upper atmospheric testing, not produce nuclear weapons in the fashion they were. Well, you don't want that unification because the defense industry is big money. They want to keep building more and more and more. And the more you test in the upper atmosphere, the more you got to replace with more building, and that's more profit. Well, that's not the only reason Kennedy was taken out, but he was a unifier, unified people against not going into Vietnam. He was, like I said, a civil rights unifier. You can't do that. Divide and conquer is how you control a people. You keep them so busy fighting each other, they don't notice the abuse they're going through by the powers that be. So he was taken out. MLK, same exact story. He wasn't calling for a black revolution and let's take our rights back at any cost. He was talking about peace and love and unity and Christ and being a man of God. And he just said, it's time that black people be recognized for the human beings they are. But this man really, I think, helped head off a lot of race riots that could have happened across this country, way in excess of what did happen. He was a man of unification. 11 FBI agents protecting him the day before his death. No FBI agents protecting him after. And we know the FBI takes orders from the CIA. Intel agencies, and I want to stress this, I don't care what country they're in, they do not work for the countries for their real important missions. They do not. Now, as I said, MI6 is the head of the snake, and let's go back now to Charlie Kirk. Charlie sits in front of a teenage kid, 19-year-old sophomore in college, and he's listening to this nonsense liberal mantra given to him by liberal professors. And what did he do? He listened to them. And then he went from what they said, point by point, in a non-aggressive manner. And people who were watching this identified with it, and it was a point of unification, not a point of divide and conquer. The death of Charlie Kirk, as many of us are noting, this is not a singular view by any means, it's not revelatory, but it's an intel hit. You have all the false stuff sent out. You start multiple conspiracy theories to take people off the track. It's like what a F-35 does when it's being pursued by a plane on its tail. It releases chaff to try to draw fire away from the plane. And this is what concocted conspiracy theories do. And man, do we have a lot of them with Charlie? We had a lot of them with Kennedy. I'll give you an example. With Kennedy, they caught the three bums in polished shoes. And what happened to them? Nothing. But gee, we're on it. We're on it. We're taking care of it. We've got it. We got it right here. And then, of course, they fell back on the old Russia, Russia, Russia hoax with Oswald. It just never ends. It's the same game plan every time. And people have asked me, how did you, in a few days, put this all together with Charlie? And I just said, same song, 30th verse. There's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon once said, and it's true here. Charlie was a unifier. It's going to be interesting to see what the turning point people do with this organization. It's going to be really interesting to see who they accept money from. I'll just leave it at that. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter at thecommonsensehow.com. You get one-stop shopping for all the multiple releases we do. And people love it. Over 50,000 people are subscribed. And best of all, it's free. And we don't sell your data. When you go to the website, simply go to the newsletter link and put in your email. And no, we don't sell data ever. And you'll get yours right away. Thanks for joining us. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. Here is where we are going with this particular segment. There is something that has crossed my communications more than once. And now I'm starting to pay attention because it fits into world events and the mass meeting of generals that was conducted by Hegseth, and then Trump made an appearance. This all fits together, and we're going to connect the dots right here on the Common Sense Show and tell you why you need to be prepping like you've never prepped before. My name is Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And we are brought to you by Noble Gold. And the Great Reset has started. You have to decide if you want to be sucked into the abyss of never to return financial independence, or do you want to be swallowed up by these forces that are doing this to us? Right now, the Federal Reserve lists 66 banks on the watch list. It should be 10 times that, if not more. If your retirement is associated with a bank that's failing, they can keep it. FDIC only keeps 1% of the funds on hand they need to compensate the bank accounts. So you could be waiting a long time if you ever get your money back. Why would you have your savings there? People need to take their money, have operating capital in the bank, and put it into assets that appreciate, not a declining dollar. Put $100,000 in the bank and you got 5% inflation. It's worth $75,000 in 5 years. And that's a rosy, optimistic. And even if you do a long-term CD, you're still going to lose money. Not as much, but you're still losing money. So what should you do? Well, you need to let Noble Gold help you position. They have the answers. I have been a customer for almost 8 years, been an advertiser for nine, and I'm telling you right now, this is the way to go. And you don't have a lot of time. Call 877-646-5347. Oh, and the FTC wants me to tell you, anytime you do an investment of any kind, there's always a risk. We believe in giving that warning. But a warning should be put over the door of every single bank in America. We can keep your money. Dodd-Frank 2010 UCC code section 8. Want to trust that? Well, be my guest. You'll end up like a 1929 my bank account got seized person. 877-646-5347. Okay, I'm hearing from hospital people, from one upper level management person to people who are supervisors. And you're not going to keep a lid on this for very long. The exact wording of what went out to several hospitals is really interesting. They want each hospital to do an assessment of their capacity for patients. And then they want what they call a surge capacity measurement. And that means if we have to put people in the waiting rooms, in the hallways, janitor's closet, I mean, whatever, there's space. How many patients could you absorb in a mass casualty event? Now, they put a time frame on this, but it's not very comforting, reassuring, or even informative. And I believe they're doing it to not to incite fear because they know there's going to be leaks. They say, keep this confidential. And I've asked someone to send me this, but they're afraid it could be traced back to them and they would lose their job. But somewhere along the line, there's a hospital official who's hearing this particular segment of the show, and they're going to say, yeah, I need to get this out. People need to know what's coming. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, it's about war. There's no question it's about war. And secondarily, I suppose domestic insurrection and violence associated with it could be part of it, but I don't know that that would send a warning out to nearly every hospital and every major hospital chain and their parent company. And that's who's getting this. And these assessments are being taken right now as we speak. So someone out there knows what I know, and they're going to provide me with the documentation. Dave Hodges at thecommonsenseshow.com. That's Dave Hodges at thecommonsenseshow.com. And that's where you want to send the information. I'm going to get a little more specific here. The time frame they mentioned, which I think is designed not to induce, shall we say, panic, political awareness with ramifications. The time frame they used was 1 to 5 years. It's not 5 years. It's not 2 years. I don't think it's 1 year. I think if what's going to happen, I believe is going to happen, and we'll get to that, what I think is going on here, it's going to happen by the end of the year or early next year. Now you say, well, Dave, what do you base that on? Well, okay, we've got an entire fleet parked off the coast of Venezuela. We've got a fleet and a half parked off the coast of China, Taiwan, Philippines, and they're all in a state of readiness. You can't maintain that state forever. You wear your supply lines out, you wear the personnel out, you become too predictable in your movements, making you vulnerable for a secret attack. Something has to move with regard to this. Now, the warning signs are coming out of Europe. Missiles that could be nuclear capable if they so wanted are moving into Eastern European countries. And I believe when you move these kind of missiles in, that we're looking at nuclear capability. And I believe, I won't speculate whether it's first strike or retaliatory. Have to be really quick retaliatory because your warning time would be really short in Europe. But I do believe that we're seeing that. I'm also have heard in the last 2 months, we are seeing increased Russian submarine activity near our coastlines. We're seeing a lot of warning signs that war is imminent. We're seeing the same messages go out to hospitals in France and Germany. They're doing an assessment. Now, I would imagine other European countries, if not every European country, is doing the same thing. But this is very, very serious. And it's something we should take to heart. Now, you're going, well, I'm just a citizen. I can't do anything about it. Well, you may not. And I got to tell you got to hope you're in the right place at the right time. So there's going to be a little luck if all hell breaks loose for you to survive. But there are things you can do to increase the probability of your survival. What kind of trauma could be brought about? Well, bleeding. So you need to learn, you have to have tourniquets and learn how to use them. Might want to learn elementary stitching. You can practice that on an orange. You need to try to stockpile medicines as best you're able, which is difficult to do in our system. And one related item here today, too, is that Trump just signed a prescription provision that gives us the lowest cost of access to drugs for our citizens. I think he would do it in total times of peace, but to me, the timing is interesting. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Don't forget your medical supplies, but a lot of the medical treatments can be compensated for natural means. You got to do your research, and I would do it yesterday. Things are about to get interesting. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show.